hoping to whittle down just a few more of these not knowings in 2020, and by God's grace, hopefully be able to finish it out probably Sunday night. So Acts chapter number 20. I'm going to ask for some input once we get to our topic for tonight as well. So get your thinking caps on and be ready to share some things with us tonight. Acts chapter 20, and we're reading verse number 20. Acts 20 and verse 20. How many were actually here last week when we did the first part of this? Raise your hand if you were here last week. Okay, so about half of you. Okay, good. So we won't have to go over as much as we would have before. Acts chapter 20, and let's go ahead and read verse 22 together. Again, the topic being certain things that are going to come up in 2020. We are not going to be ready for them. How can I put that? We're not going to expect them, let's put it that way. Or it's not on our schedule, let's put it that way. But it's going to happen anyway. Can we be ready for them when it happens? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, read that together with me. Here we go. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Notice that Paul said, I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. Amen. Certain things he does know. We'll cover that here in just a minute. But he says, I'm going forward, not knowing. You and I are going to go home tonight, not knowing what we're going to find at home. God willing, if you wake up tomorrow, you're going to go to your jobs not knowing what you're going to find. You might find a pink slip. You might find something else, a promotion. We don't know what we're going to find. We don't know each day that comes what's going to happen. But God knows. And because God knows, that should help us in the comfort zone to proceed in 2020. The topic is not knowing in 2020, certain things that we don't know, but then we do know this, that God is able to take us in 2020, just like he did in 2019. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace upon us, Lord. Help us once again to be mindful that we don't want to leave here the way we came in. God, we want your Holy Spirit to just permeate our souls and our hearts, and Lord, attract our attention that we may see what we need to see. Hear what we need to hear and know what we need to know so that we can do what we need to do. God, we need to hear from you in a special way, in a marvelous way, in a miraculous way. This middle of the week, Lord, much has happened throughout the day that could have taken our minds, taken our hearts. Lord, the cares of this world are real. And Lord, we need to really get focused and in tune on you. Lord, help us to set aside any distractions that may be in our way so that we can worship a holy God and receive the word of God. And let, Lord, leave out of here rejoicing that it's been good to be in thy house. Lord, attract us by your Spirit. And with the word of God, may we be changed more into the image of Christ's likeness. We thank you and love you, Lord. Help us again to leave differently than we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. So certain things come to mind that we have no knowledge of in 2020. One would be our wealth. We don't know how much money we're going to have in 2020. We don't know our health, what status our health is going to be like in 2020. We really don't. Amen. By the way, you have seen that there have been people that have been in the utmost of health that have dropped dead. Pastor White mentioned that his uncle Prentice had just come from the doctor with a clean bill of health and had a heart attack. So it doesn't matter how the doctors look at us. When God says it's time, guess what? It's time. And so health, we don't know. Wealth, we don't know. Our walk, we don't know. Our talk, sometimes we don't know. Amen. Our work, we don't know. Our families, we don't know. Certain things are going to happen this year, and we don't have a clue. We really don't. But there are certain things and some things that we can be prepared for, even though we may not know what will happen or what may happen beforehand. Amen. One thing we do know, God still delights in using ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. Amen. We do know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Amen. An extraordinary God wants to use ordinary people. And I made this statement last week as we look to close out 2020. We can look back and say with assurance that God has been good to us in 2019. With assurance, we know that God has been good to us. He has brought us through. Did we have all the money we wanted? Probably not. Did we have the best of health? Probably not. But did we make it through 2019? Yes, we did. And we made it to 2019. Guess what? The same God in 2019 was the same God in 2018, was the same one in 2017. And guess what? The same one's going to be in 2020. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. Amen. So we can count on it that he's going to take us through. Amen. And I want to highlight some things that we can look forward to, even though not knowing how they will turn out, but looking forward to them anyway by being reminded of what God has already done. One of the first things that we said that we do know before we went into the things that we don't know, we know that we're saved. Amen. We looked at 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Let's turn over there real quick. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. We said before we start anything, we need to know that we know that we know that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. By the way, what is the advantage of knowing Christ as our Savior in 2020? What's the advantage that we have knowing that? Ms. Duffy? No matter what happens, he's going to carry us through. By the way, can it get so bad that I can lose my salvation?
No.
It can't get that bad. Now, if you lose your salvation, that's bad. That means you never had it. Amen. But things in 2020 can't get so bad that you say, man, it's so bad, Brother Duffy. I don't have no money. I must not be saved. No, don't blame that on the money. Well, if my health is so bad in 2020, Joshua, I must not be saved. Don't blame it on that. Amen. Hey, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him and serve him. Amen. He said, it doesn't matter because I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. So when you look at this, one thing we do know is that we have trustiness in our salvation. Notice the verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us. What? Eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. He that hath the Son hath what?
Life.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Folks, when we come into 2020, the trustiness of our salvation is the one thing that we've got to hang our hats on. I know that God is my Savior. I know that I'm his child. There is nothing that's going to stop that from being true. So I may not have my job. I may not have my wealth. I may not have my health. I may not have my friends. I may not have a lot of things. I may not have my car. I may not have my dog. I may not have my clothes. But guess one thing I know I have? My God. I'm not going to lose that. The trustiness of salvation. Then we went into that, which we know. By the way, folks, if you hang on to the fact that I'm saved on a good day, I'm still saved. On a bad day, I'm still saved. And guess what? That covers all other days. And can I say this? We make too little of our salvation. The Pentecostals put us to shame. We make such little about our salvation. Pentecostals come up there, woo, I'm saved. Glory to God. God's good. We learn, yeah, I'm saved too. You don't act like it. Hey, God is still alive and God is still the Savior. We make such little of our salvation, but God saved us. And folks, that's something to brag about. That's something to talk about. That's something to shout about, because on a bad day, I could still rest in my salvation. Paul could still say, hey, look, none of these things move me. Why? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I don't care how bad it gets. I know I'm saved. Don't make little of your salvation. That is the greatest thing that you could possess. Because of your salvation, you have God's Holy Spirit. Because of your salvation, you have access to God. Because of the Holy Spirit, you can pray and get your prayers answered. Amen. Hey, folks, when we look at this, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. What am I saying? Certain things we do know in the midst of a lot of things that we just don't know. I know I'm saved. The trustiness of my salvation, which brings me to our first one that we talked about, which was back in Acts 20. So go back there. Acts 20. Notice in Acts 20, we may not know the things that are going to happen, but there's certain things that we can do. Notice verse 22 again. He says, and now behold, verse 22, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. What's the words? Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Again, you don't know what's going to happen when you get home. You don't know what's going to happen when you wake up. You don't know what's going to happen next week. You don't know what's going to happen Sunday. You don't know what's going to happen a week from today. You don't know. You plan, you hope, you wish, you're making arrangements, but guess what? You don't know. You just don't know. Hey, if you forward the hand back, Andrew, did you know you was going to have to go up to Phoenix to get your sister? Didn't know. Why? There's certain things we just don't know. But guess what? We got to be prepared for it just the same. Because it might happen. He said, I'm going not knowing the things that's going to befall me there. Notice verse 23. He said, it's one thing I do know. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city saying that what? Bonds and afflictions. He said, I'm going to get beat up. I know that. By the way, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? You're going to live for God. Expect to get ridiculed. Expect to get talked about. Expect it. If you stand for Jesus Christ, expect it. You know, we want to live for God and expect not to get talked about. Really? Folks, I'm living proof. I work with people that were Christians when I wasn't. Guess who I pointed out to talk about? The Christian. Why? They made me look bad. They didn't curse. They didn't smoke. They didn't do drugs. They didn't go to the club. They didn't run around with an unsavory group. And so I would poke fun at them and pick at them. I still remember Tony Wells. Tony Wells, let's go to the club. Greg, you know I go to church tonight. I said, man, you go to church every Wednesday? Don't you ever have some fun? Let's go to the club, man, hang out. Greg, you know I don't drink. Tony, one drink ain't going to hurt you. Greg, I don't drink. Man, I used to get on him and try to get him to sin with me. Why did I want him to sin with me so bad? Gregory? Sin wants company. He made me look bad because he didn't get in my sin. That shined a light on me. Hey, expect if you're going to live for God to go through difficulties. Expect it. Paul knew good and well he was going to Jerusalem to do the will of God, and he knew to do the will of God was going to cost him. What did he say? Bonds and afflictions abide me. But what did he say in verse 24? But none of these things move me. He said, it's not stopping me from going to Jerusalem. Hey, man. Hey, folks, I don't care what happens. Nothing's going to stop tomorrow from coming. Whatever comes with it. Some of y'all's work, some of y'all at school, some of y'all's babysitting, whatever it is, nothing's going to stop it from coming. He said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with what? Joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. But notice verse 25. And now, behold, he said, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He said, I know this. I'm not going to see y'all again. He said, I'm giving you this encouragement now because I'm not going to see you anymore. Hey, folks, I could die tomorrow. Y'all will not see my face if I die again, except in the casket.
Y'all say, oh, he was a good man. Why did a good have to die young?
Amen. Hey, in light of eternity, I am young. And Paul said, I know some of you, you're not going to see my face. And he said, I know this. I'm going. And when I go, you're not going to see me anymore. Think about it. Could be the last time y'all see each other tonight. We don't know what's going to happen. We really don't. There could be some crazed person say, I want to kill every Christian in Tucson. And he's got our number. Pray it doesn't happen. But guess what? Is there anything stopping it from happening? Is there anything stopping these kids from going in schools and shooting up kids? It happens left and right and left and right. So much now we hear the news, it's kind of like another school shooting. They're going into churches shooting people. Another church shooting. Going into the Walmarts. Another Walmart shooting. And we're anesthetized to it. Well, yeah, another crazy person. We're numb to it. Folks, it can happen. Paul said, hey, look, I know this. You're not going to see my face anymore. Notice something else he said, I know. Notice down there in verse number 29. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He said, I know this. Some of you are not going to see my face. He said, because you're not going to see my face, some grievous wolves are going to come in here speaking some things. He said, that's why I'm teaching and preaching the way I am. Amen. He said, because I know that when I'm gone and you're not going to see my face, somebody's going to come in and try to take my place and teach you something that is not right. By the way, it happens. It does. And so when we look at Paul, we see that he had to have the toughness of saints. He said, we got the trustiness of salvation, but the toughness of saints. Our roads will not always be smooth, but we can purpose in our hearts to serve God and stand for God like Daniel. Then we went over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. So the trustiness of salvation is what we have to stand on. But then according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, the toughness of the saints is something that we need to have. But in Matthew 22, 29, we saw this area over here that Jesus talked about. Matthew 22 and verse number 29. Read that with me together. Here we go. 29. Where am I here? There we go. Let's read 29 together. Here we go. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. We said the next thing then, we may not know the scriptures completely, but we can know the timeliness of the scriptures. We may not know everything we need to know, but guess what? I should know some basic things about the Bible. And I should be able to find some basic Bible answers. Amen. Hey, what does the Bible say? Left me just that quick. Oh, I have an answer for every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. He said, you need to have an answer. Someone comes to you and says, why do you or why don't you? You need to have this answer. And it needs to be well thought out and well planned according to the biblical scriptures. He said the timeliness of scriptures is an answer that you and I can have for every encounter in 2020. We just need to find it. By the way, there's no need for us to err not knowing the scriptures when they're there. And by the way, people are not going to ask you Albert Einstein questions. Somebody say amen. They're going to ask you legitimate questions. Why don't you go to the club? Why don't you curse? Why do you go to church? Or why do you use the Bible? Or why do you teach your children this? They're going to ask you standard questions. And all you got to do is give them the Bible. Why you do what you do. Now, if you give them the answer preacher said, that's a wrong answer. They will brand you as one of these, what are those guys that follow Jim Jones? One of them crazy people. You better say because the Bible says. Because if you say the preacher says, they say, oh, you following the man now, huh? Folks, don't follow me. Follow the word of God. What did Jesus say? You do err not knowing the scriptures. Amen. So we found out the timeliness of the scriptures is something that we have to have, not knowing what's going to happen in 2020. We have the Spirit's help, the pastoral help, deacon's help, teacher's help, parental helps, apps galore. You got apps for everything. Amen. And I said, you got to watch out where you get your information from. By the way, Google can be right on a lot of things. But may I say this? Google can have wrong information out there, too. You know who's allowed to put stuff out there on the web? Any and everybody. And they will post something out there. And if you get that thinking it's the truth, you better search it out and check it out. It can be. Folks, they're teaching people how to make bombs. In our crazed society. Teaching kids how to make bombs. Don't we have enough problems without teaching kids how to make bombs? They download this stuff off the internet. But be careful where you get your information from, which brings us to our next point. So the trustiness of salvation, we need to know that in 2020. The toughness of saints, we need to have that in 2020. The timeliness of scriptures, we need to have that in 2020. The next one is in Luke 9:33. Luke 9:33. Again, dealing with not knowing. And that phrase is going to be in every verse that we look up. 9:33. And this is the one that we're going to talk about here just for a few minutes. Luke 9:33. This is the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus takes James and John and Peter up into the mount. And he's transfigured before them. And in verse number 33 is a phrase that Peter utters. Or not that he utters, but the Bible says this is what happened. Notice what it says down there. Let's stop in verse number, start in verse number 29. Let's start there. Let's start in 28. Came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Amen. By the way, remember what he said in our last point? The dead are not dead. They're living. Here you got two of them right here, Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Notice verse 33. And it came to pass as they departed from him, that's Moses and Elias, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Notice his last phrase, not knowing what he said. So in other words, he didn't have anything else to say. Do we ever get in that situation? We don't know what to say. I think so. Not knowing what he said. We may not know what to say, but we can know what we shouldn't say. Somebody say amen. Oh, we know certain things that we should say, amen. The Bible says, not knowing what to say, amen. We may not know what to say, but we can know what not to say, amen. And now, when it comes down to this, this is the caption I like for this one. The thoughtfulness of what we say in 2020. Do we put thought into what we say? When you answer your boss, do you put thought in what you say? When you answer your children, do you put thought in what you say? When you answer your parents, do you put thought in what you say? When you speak to your relatives, do you put thought in what you say? Do you put thought behind it? The Bible says he uttered this out not knowing what he said. In essence, this is what he said. You're equal with Moses and Elias, Jesus. In essence, that's what he said. In essence, that's what he said. Let's make these three tabernacles, one for you and one for Elias and one for Moses. It's good for us to be here. You never put Jesus on equal footing with a human man. I don't care how great Moses and Elijah was. They aren't Jesus. They didn't die for the sins. In essence, what he was saying is that there's no difference between you and Moses and Elijah. Hey, folks, let me let you in on something. If you're a child here, your parents are different from everybody else. If you're a parent here, your children are different from everybody else's children. If you're an employee here, your boss is different from everybody else. And that's the way you need to see them and approach them and your thoughtfulness and how you talk to them. They're not just anybody. They're God's people that he put in your pathway for a reason. And that reason is that you will know what to say to them. What am I saying? The thoughtfulness of what we say. We should think and pray before we speak. Words are one thing that we can never take back. How many of y'all ever said something, wish you could take it back? Sometimes it's to a spouse. Sometimes it's to a child. Sometimes it's to a parent. Sometimes it's to an authority. Sometimes it's to a teacher. It's to different people, but we wish we could take back what we said. By the way, sometimes a person has come out and said, I hate you, only to regret that they said it later. Wishing they could take that back. They've called names. By the way, my sister's called me some bad names. And guess what? I still remember a lot of those names. Why? Words are something that goes up in this computer and they stick. They stick. The thoughtfulness of what we say. Words are one thing we can never take back. It's in our best interest to answer biblically and wisely. We may not know what to say in 2020, but we can know what not to say in 2020. Notice what it says down there again. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. And the two men that stood with him, verse 33, it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. I like what the verse following that says. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. What's the last two words?
Hear him.
Hear him. Folks, before we say it, we need to hear Jesus. Lord Jesus, what do you want me to say? Let me give you several proverbs on this particular passage. Not this passage, but on our tongue. Go over to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, 11. Proverbs 29, 11. Proverbs, of course, is a lot of wisdom here. Proverbs 29 and verse number 11. Now, if you have a problem controlling your tongue, you're not going to like what this says. How many of y'all feel like you always got something to say? Don't raise your hand on that. Amen. But if you always feel like you got to have something to say, if you feel like you always got to have the last word, this verse is for you. Because we're talking about the thoughtfulness of what we say. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Let's read that together. Here we go. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. The fool, he vents all of his anger, all of his frustration. He doesn't hold anything back, and he shows everybody his foolishness. Amen. Hey, you may have been foolish at one time, uttering all your mind. By the way, I said it before, I said it again. As a child, I used to hear, mind is a terrible thing to waste. You don't want everybody to know all your mind. There are certain things you want to keep to yourself. If you put all your mind out there, guess what? One day somebody's going to use it against you. Amen. I'm just saying. Now, look at this verse again. A fool uttereth all his mind. What does that mean to you? Give me some input. What does that mean? A fool uttereth all his mind. Jerry? Blurts out anything. Now, by the way, all of us know somebody like that. If you go in your memory banks as a child or as a young adult or at your job or where the families got together, there was always that one who had to utter all their mind, and everybody looked at that person and thought, why don't they just shut up? Hey, I've had some get-togethers with some family, and certain folks would speak, and everybody would just have that look like, oh, here we go again. Gonna utter all his mind. Now, you know he don't know anything anyway. And half of what the person said wasn't true anyway. But he was an expert on everything. Oh, yeah. I know that. Yeah. That's like this. I'm thinking, you're not the expert on this. And by the way, it's wrong anyway. A fool uttereth all his mind. Folks, that's one thing that you and I want to make sure we have thoughtfulness in what we say. We don't want to say everything that comes to our mind. By the way, don't say everything you think. It can get you in trouble. It can get you in trouble. Go over here. Let me show you how we should do this. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Nehemiah 2, 4. This is how we should do things. Don't say everything you think. Amen. Nehemiah 2 and verse 4. The king here is asking Nehemiah why he's so sad. Because he had never been sad before. And notice down there in verse number 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? Seest thou art not sick? This is nothing but else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Anybody know why he was afraid? Jerry? Well, it's actually even simpler than that. You couldn't be in the king's presence sad. If you were in the king's presence sad, you could be killed. The king had a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Catered to environment. If I don't want bad news, I'm not going to hear bad news. If I want everything to be a certain way, it's going to be a certain way. And if it's not, the person that doesn't do what I tell them to do is going to be killed. So he being with the king and being the wine taster here could not be sad. And so it says, I was very so afraid. Notice verse 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? He said, so what you asking for then? And notice the next phrase. So I what? Pray to the God of heaven. Folks, before you say it, pray for it. That'll save you a whole lot of problems. Save you a whole lot of issues if you just prayed before saying something. A good rule of thumb, pray before we say. That's a good rule of thumb. Amen. Go back to Proverbs, show you some good pointer verses here. Proverbs 6, verse 17. What I'm saying here, Peter didn't know what to say. Proverbs chapter 6. And these are just going to be some random verses about our usage of the tongue or what the tongue can do. Anybody ever did a study on the tongue? Pretty bad thing. Proverbs 6:17. And notice what 6:17 says. I got 3:17. Amen. All right. Here we go. A proud look, what kind of tongue? lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. These are things that the Lord hates. Notice verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination. Proud look, one. Lying tongue, two. Hands that shed innocent blood, three. Heart devised wicked imaginations, four. Feet that be swift and running to mischief, five. A false witness that speaketh lies, six. And he that soweth discord among his brethren, seven. Say, God hates those things. Amongst those, two deal with the tongue. A false witness that speaketh lies, and a lying tongue. Folks, one of the things that we don't want to have is a lying tongue. Amen. By the way, is it hard to tell the truth? It's really not. It's actually easy to tell the truth. We mess up because we think of the consequences of telling the truth. Telling the truth is actually very, very easy. I just tell the truth. But we think, first of all, the devil says, if you tell the truth, this is how people are going to look at you. If you tell the truth, this is what's going to happen to you. Folks, I was placed in that situation. I told y'all I did some things that I shouldn't have done before I joined the military, and I lied to get in the military. And then after I got saved, the cops came and gave me the same questions that they gave me before I came to the military that I lied on. And I had to tell the truth this time. Now, let me stop that. I didn't have to tell the truth. I could have told the same old lie, couldn't I? They asked me the same questions, and they said, is this true? Guess what I could have said? You know what I said? That's not true. They said, well, wait a minute. On this form, you said this. I said, I know I lied. They said, do you know that's falsifying government documents? I said, well, I didn't really understand that at the time. They gave me another question. They said, is that true? I said, no, it's not true. They said, then what is the truth? I said this. They said, do you know that you are falsifying government documents and you could be in big trouble? They asked me another question. Is that true? The next words I heard him say was, you have the right to remain silent. He started reading me my rights. I looked at that guy. I thought, am I about to go to jail? He said, you have willingly falsified government documents. You lied. Not once, not twice, not three times. How much of this is all lies? By that time, I'm feeling about this big. I'm the Christian. I thought. He said, you might be going to jail. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my soul. I just got saved, gave my life to Jesus. I'm trying to tell the truth here. And I got to go to jail because I'm telling the truth? See, it wasn't the telling of the truth that was so hard. It was the consequences behind telling the truth that got me. Because the devil said, why don't you just go ahead and lie? You'll never see this man again. Why don't you go ahead and lie? Nobody will never know the difference. But see, there's a God in heaven that saved me. There's a God whom I serve and whose I am that knew the truth. And I felt that I need to tell these guys the truth so that the truth will set me free. And guess what? It came down to it. He said, why are you telling the truth now? Don't you know you could just lie and give? Why are you? And I started giving my testimony. I said, before I gave these answers, I wasn't saved. And I went through my whole testimony and stopped at that day. And I said, today we're here. You're asking me these questions. I'm telling you the truth. Because back then I was nothing but a big, fat liar. I said, but God saved me. And I said, because he saved me. And man, he was writing all this stuff down. And I'm thinking, if I go down, I'm going down swinging, buddy. I'm giving you all the gospel, amen. I started letting know how he could be saved, and he's steady writing stuff down. I don't know what you're writing down, amen. He's probably writing, lunatic, get him out of the military right now. He's going to kill somebody, amen. This guy, not fit to be in the service. He said, you'll hear from us. I thought, okay, I'm going to hear from you. Next thing I heard, I got this FBI notice in the mail. I said, this is it. I'm going to jail. I opened it up and it said, your top secret clearance has been received. I thought, what? Your top secret clearance has been approved. Because the job that I was in, you had to have a top secret clearance. And mine's had elapsed. And you had to get it renewed. And I thought, man, I had my cousin call me up. Boy, why you call the cops on me? The cops came knocking at my door asking questions about you. Sorry, hope he didn't catch you doing something you ought not be doing. Hey, folks. Again, it's not so much the truth that gets us. It's the results of the truth. What if I tell you the truth, what are you going to do to me? Or what is it going to do to you? Hey, by the way, some people won't witness because of the truth. What is the truth going to do to my relatives? What is the truth going to do to my coworkers? What is the truth going to do to my friends? What is the truth going to do to someone that I know? It's not the truth that is our problem. It's the result of the truth, the repercussions of the truth that we don't like to deal with. Let's just say amen, because that's true. Because as I sat there in that seat and I was faced with telling the truth, the devil said, don't tell the truth. The Holy Spirit said, you need to tell the truth. No matter what happens, you need to tell the truth. Folks, I stole stuff from people and brought the stuff back. They said, how in the world did you get that? You don't want to know. But it's not mine, it's yours. Why would you bring it back now? Because I stole it. And it wasn't rightfully mine. I couldn't do that. I couldn't either. It was only the Lord. What am I saying? When it comes down to our tongue and what we should say, we have to remember that the thoughtfulness of what we say in 2020 still matters. God still cares about your tongue. He still matters. He still cares what you say. He still cares how you say it. He still cares about the motive why you say what you say. You hear people say, oh, they give you a snide remark. Ah, I'm just playing with you. Are you really? Are you really playing with me? Oh, I'm just kidding. Are you really? What's behind the heart? See, God sees the heart. Often is what we say. See, if we put more thought in what we say, we'll be in less trouble. Because certain things that we want to say, we ought not say. Certain things that we think that we need to say, you ought not say. And certain times, the things that we should say, we don't say. Amen. Hey, adults, we have to think about it when it comes to our children. Children have to think about it when they're talking to the adults. We go into the school system. We have to think about it with our authorities. We go to our jobs. We got to think about it. We go into the community. We got to think about it. Everywhere you go, you have to think about it. By the way, you still owe the policeman respect. I don't care how you feel about them. You still owe them respect. You still owe the judges respect. I don't care how you feel about them. By the way, let's go there. You still owe the president respect. I don't care how you feel about him. He has an office. Now, he may not be the best in the office. He may not be the finest in the office. He may not be doing what he ought to do in the office. He may be doing some things that he shouldn't do in the office. But that's got nothing to do with you and I. Our job is still to pray for the person in office. Like him or lump him. Whether he suits your political needs or not. It was the same for Obama. It was the same for Bush. It was the same for Carter. It was the same for, what's the other guy with the red nose? No. Clinton. That's him. Clinton. Hey, it was the same thing for each one of them. And we may not like what they do, but we've got to have thoughtfulness in what we say. Folks, there's several more scriptures here. We'll pick up with these on Sunday night. But let me leave you with this one. Go to James here. Most of us are familiar with James. James 3. What am I saying? There should be some thoughtfulness in what we say. We may not know what to say, but there are certain things that we know we ought not say. And God help us to let God have control of our tongues. James chapter number 3. And notice what James says about the tongue in verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a little a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a what? A fire, a world of what? Iniquity. By the way, wars are started by words. Now, sometimes it's actions, but oftentimes it's words. A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defiled the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of what? hell, verse number 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can who tame? No man tame. And that's talking about mankind. By the way, if you are mankind, you are a human being, you cannot tame your own tongue. Somebody say amen. It has to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we say what we say. Hey, folks, that's why we say what we say. Under the control of the Holy Spirit, I told the truth. Why? In my flesh, I wanted to tell a lie. I wanted to agree with the same old lie. Holy Spirit said, you can't control that. So when you open it up, let me talk. When you open it up, let me witness. When you open up that mouth, don't you go with that same old lie you told back then. Tell the truth, son. And guess what? I had to give my tongue over to the Holy Spirit. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What do we do with it? Therewith bless we God. We say, amen, praise the Lord, even the Father. And therewith curse we who? Men, which are made after who? The similitude of God. He says, now wait a minute. One minute you're blessing God. Next minute you're cursing man. He says, it's coming out of the same location. Of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He gives you a description of what that is like. Folks, as we leave here tonight, the thoughtfulness of what we say should permeate our minds. There's some things that we don't know in 2020. But there's some things that we should know, and that's how to answer people. And there should be some thought in what we say. And by the way, you don't have to come back with an answer right away all the time. Take your time. Take your time. Y'all kids say, well, I want to answer now. You really don't, because the answer that I give you has not been prayed over. And the answer that I give you could be a bad answer. So give me a minute here to think about that and pray about that and come up with a good answer. By the way, folks, this works for all of our conversations, no matter who I'm talking to. I was talking to my dad today, and we were talking about some things and just a blessing, how I have to make sure I want to answer my dad in the right way. I want to encourage my dad. I want to be a blessing to my dad. My dad's 85, and I don't know how many more years he's got. But I want to be a blessing to my dad. I want to encourage my dad any way I can. And so it's always with politeness, with courtesy. Why? He's my dad. I only have one. I only have one. I'm not going to get another. I only got one mom. My mom may get on me, but guess what? I only have one. Thoughtfulness of what we say, folks. As we go into 2020, we have the trustiness of salvation. We know that. We need to bank on that. We have the toughness of saints. We're going to have to go through some things, not knowing how it's going to happen. The timeliness of scriptures, we don't have to err not knowing the scriptures, because certain things we do know. And then we have to have the thoughtfulness of what we say. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Peter uttered out because he didn't know what to say. Never let it be said about us, we don't know what to say. And by the way, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Idle words get you in trouble more than you can think. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. So I wanted to say this, but I think it might. Well, don't say it. Because once it goes out, guess what? You can't take it back and eat it back. The repercussions are coming. The results are coming. For that, after I told that truth to that cop, that FBI agent, I didn't know what to expect. I was expecting to get going to jail. That's what I was expecting. But God bless. Thoughtfulness is what we say. Folks, let's think about that tonight. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I do pray that you would work in our midst, in our hearts. Well, we don't know a lot of what's going to happen in 2020. We do know certain things are going to happen. But Lord, let it never be said that we didn't know what to say. Because if we don't know what to say, then Lord, help us not to say anything at all. Help us, Lord, never to get ourselves in a position, in an area where we feel like we have to say something. Because, God, that's farthest from the truth. We don't have to say anything at all. Work in us, Lord. Each one of us struggles with our tongue. The Bible is clear. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison. We do bless you. And we